Where Nobody Knows Your Name is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Da 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 da, baseball!
Baseball!
That's how we start this episode.
That's how we go.
It's Take Me Out to the Ball Game is the name of this episode. Season 10, episode 21. It aired the 26th of March, 1992. Are you ready for another sports fact?
Always, always.
This aired the same week that White Men Can't Jump premiered.
What a film. Also, Woody was in that.
Exactly, yeah. That's
also strong.
I wasn't just going, this aired the same week that a film aired.
What a film. Listeners, if you haven't seen White Men Can't Jump, absolutely go and watch it. It is class. Absolutely superb.
Troy once asked in a quiz, what is the only mammal that can't jump? And to this day, I am chagrined that I didn't at least get half a point for white men.
You missed a trick there. I'll make sure I put it in a future quiz and I'll give you the opportunity for half a point.
Thank you. This episode was directed by James Burrows and written by Kathy Ann Stump.
You took me to a ball game last year.
I did, yes.
Very good it was too.
We'll go to, thinking of going to the one this year, the London series. I wouldn't say we were rambunctious. I just think the two kids behind us hadn't seen fully grown men drink 5 glasses of rum before.
Aye, in such quick succession. Their parents thought they were going to have a torrid time looking after their kids in a baseball game. And we turned around and said, hold my rum.
Yep. We had a great time. Yeah.
We did. I don't fully get baseball. Like, I don't really watch it that much. I know you watch it a little more than I do, James, and follow it quite closely. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, even as a, I wouldn't say a neutral fan, but as a novice to the sport, you just get caught up in the atmosphere. It's very much the same when I've been to NFL games when they do them over here. I follow NFL a little more. I at least understand a lot of the rules and stuff like that. But as a casual fan, as a neutral and whatnot, it is a thoroughly enjoyable day out. So if you get a chance, I would highly recommend going to one of the London series games this year. And you may well see me and James there.
Yep. Would advise not going to an unrated chicken boutique afterwards.
Yeah. If I find out the name, we can maybe drop that somewhere on socials and just help you to avoid that. Because, yeah, what? Just a bad experience from start to finish. And when I say start to finish, I mean upon entry to the shop and the morning after. I don't need to say any more there.
We became human boil in a bag, didn't we?
Yep. Yes, we did.
Troy and his partner are off to Europe the next day, going on a European tour. And I messaged her going, oh, how's it going? And she went, Troy's been in the train toilet for the last hour.
Yeah, not a good time.
I mean, I wasn't much better, to be fair.
I don't think it helped that the room we stayed in the night before was an absolute swelter box.
It was.
So, yeah. Oh. Anyway, we digress.
But the baseball game was fun.
Baseball game was fun. That's all you need to know. Should we talk about what we're here to talk about?
Yes. Which is cheers.
Aye. If you didn't already know.
Let's talk about the cold open first. That feels appropriate. Rebecca and Sam are leaving Cheers. They're locking up, but they feel they've forgot something. What have they forgotten?
Sam's trying to remember what he's forgotten. Kind of lists off a few things, doesn't he? And as they kind of leave and go up the stairs, he remembers that he's just left Norm in the bar. Because of course he is, because he's part of the furniture.
Consider yourself at home, Norm.
Yes.
Yes.
When you said cold open a moment ago, I missed a trick. I say missed a trick. Dropped something in about wishing I had a cold open after that food that we had at the baseball. But I digress again. I'll keep it PG. He's remembered that he's left Norm in there.
But yeah, he's fine. Norm's fine. I think he should have just hid behind the bar and just pop back up nighttime.
I mean, I know a friend that's done that, but it wasn't intentional. It was when I used to go to university in Leicester. I can't remember if I've told this story before, but you know what? If it's your first time listening, you may not have heard it. So I'll tell it again. It's very short. It's very quick. At a club in Leicester many years ago during my student days, different time, had sufficient libations during the evening. And we went back home, realised we'd lost someone, thought they'd gone back to a friend's and whatnot, and woke up to about 50, 60 missed calls on each phone. later transpired that our friend, I won't name him, fell asleep in one of the sort of sofa areas of said nightclub. Staff didn't check the area and he was locked in there. Staff had gone home and he was locked in there till about 8:30 in the morning, was knocking on the door, knocking on the windows. The police were called because passers-by obviously thought that someone was trying to break into the place, although he was knocking to get out, he was trying to break out of the place, but was stuck in there. Police arrived, questioned him and whatnot, checked the CCTV footage, and yeah, it turns out he just had a really strong nap on some of the side, and they let him out a little later.
What a way for the police to arrive. Also, trying to explain to them. No, I fell asleep.
Fell asleep, mate. I'm trying to break out, if anything.
Apparently, and I don't know the full story, but people can look it up and tell us what it is. Apparently, David Bowie once broke into a mental asylum to help Lou Reed escape.
Wow. That's a story.
I want to watch that film. That sounds amazing.
Love to have been a fly on the wall for that.
People just going, no, it's not Ziggy Stardust. Get back on your meds. You know.
Oh, man. Anyway, we digress further. Crack on.
I guess you could call Lou Reed a lad insane.
You could. You could do that. full of puns here. Full of puns, again, if you don't know already. Interestingly, again, I'm digressing. A friend of mine, Kev Mudd, and he won't mind me mentioning him because he's a stand-up comedian. He's very good. And he recently won a pun competition that was held in Leicester the other day, where they'd set up a boxing ring in a theatre and people came in and just did puns. It was almost like a sort of pun-off, I guess. That might have been what it was called. But for his winnings, he's got a sort of championship belt, which just has pun across the front.
I like this guy.
He's good. He's very good. Yeah, if you're not familiar with him, Kev Mudd, brilliant stand-up comedian and a good friend I went to university with.
Ah, the one who didn't get locked in a nightclub. Wink.
No, he. to be fair, I think he did far worse at university. He's turned himself round, so it's all good.
In the rest of the episode,
8 minutes in, we've only just got to the actual episode itself.
Cliff is reading an article saying the average human being only uses 17% of their brain. He claims this means they don't use a full 64%.
Because maths.
And Norm points out some don't use even more. Zing.
Zing.
Meanwhile, Woody is cracking up due to a Ziggy comic. See? It was set up.
Got it.
Yeah. Got it. And he'll be apparently he'll be useless for the next 15 minutes because he's laughing too much.
So I don't know what Ziggy magazine is. Can you shed any light on that?
I found Ziggy as an American cartoon series about a man called Ziggy who suffers an endless stream of misfortunes and sad but sympathetic daily events. It was sounds like us the day after the baseball.
Ziggy magazine, it's a comic book much like Viz, if anyone remembers Viz. Anyway, he's read Ziggy and he's in hysterics.
It's the simple things.
Yes, it is.
Lilith wants Frasier to come to her great uncle's 98th birthday.
Oh, 90, what an age.
Frasier, I put impolitely, refuses.
The man is going to be 98. He won't know whether I'm there or not. You could introduce him to a chair. You'd get the same dim flicker of recognition.
Frasier, that is unkind. My uncle has all his faculties intact.
Yes, which explains why whenever he sees me, he calls me Colonel and breaks into a rousing chorus of over there.
So Lilith agrees he doesn't have to come, but he has to run some errands while they're away then. Which is fine, you know?
Yeah.
This includes not opening the door to strangers, as last time a stranger came to the door, they stole their stereo.
Tries to defend it, doesn't he?
Don't open the door to strangers.
Lilith.
Well, Frasier, there is a precedent set. We lost our stereo that day.
Well, he looked friendly. He needed to use the phone.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Darling. People have flats at 3 in the morning.
He was wearing a ski mask.
I won't open the door to strangers.
So, yeah, as Lilith is leaving, she also asks Frasier to stop by the lab to pick up her short-haired rat, one of her favorite rats that she does her experiments on. Then an old pitcher friend of Sam's arrives. Mitch Ganzel from the Red Sox. They haven't seen each other in about 15 years. Immediately, Carla and Mitch start flirting.
Hey, it's Ganzel! Hey!
Oh, Carla, you still got it.
Yeah.
You can still have it.
Because of course they do. It turns out the Sox need some relief pitchers, and he's looking to make a comeback. There's some tryouts the next day. And Sam's like, you know, I think that's awesome. It's amazing. You know, you were really good. You should make it in. And then he turns around to Norman Cliff and everyone else and kind of says, no, he was terrible. He couldn't throw anything. He said he sucked.
Mitch kind of thinks the same about him.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of underlying, like, kind of rivalry. They're friends on the surface. It's there, but they love each other. They kind of have a bit of a joke back and forth, don't they? And you know, have a bit of a hug. But Norm says that Sam thinks he should get back into the game. He says he's in good shape as he was when he was 18. And Norm says, "Yep, same here." He says, in fact, I think the suit that I'm wearing is the one I had when I was 18.
Oh, Norm.
And Cliff then goes on to say, oh, well, I think you should do it. It will give us back our lives. You know, we've lived vicariously through you for God knows how many years, and they're starting to get bored of it.
You know, Sammy, we'd love for you to do it. I mean, give us back our lives. Wait a minute. Sammy, it's no secret we've been living vicariously through you for the past several years, and lately, frankly, it's gotten kind of boring.
Not bad.
Huh? We've actually been thinking about living vicariously through Phil.
So I get my socks out of the dryer and one of them's missing.
Absolute lad, Phil.
Rebecca doesn't like this, though. She starts getting a little bit sarcastic, doesn't she, about everyone kind of like reliving their youth. And she's like, oh, you know, well, in that case, I might go back and wear the dress or something that I wasn't able to at the prom or something to that extent.
This is terrific.
What?
You want to play baseball again? Fulfill your little fantasy. Well, why don't we all do that? I mean, why don't I go back to my high school prom? Huh? Maybe I'd have a pretty dress. Maybe I wouldn't weigh 300 pounds and be on tetracycline.
Now, do you know what tetracycline is?
No, go on.
Antibiotic for severe acne, right?
Oh, okay.
Which, interesting. Norm uses moving his preferred seat down from the piano corner as an example of going for what you want in life. As Mitch leaves, Tam tells him that he is going to go to tryouts. Which kind of sets up the A-plot of this episode.
Yeah. So then we get Frasier coming back into the bar, and he's brought the pet rat with him, Whiskers, the lab rat, if you like. And Cliff says, oh, you know, now Lither's away, you should consider maybe swinging. And he says, there's nothing more attractive than a middle-aged man with a rat in a cage.
And Cliff kind of goes, yeah. Cliff thinks that if Sam were to lose, he'll become depressed and take inventory of his whole life. Well, and this is a dark line, fashioning his belt into a makeshift noose.
Yeah, that's a bit rough.
Calm down, Cliff. This is a family show.
But Frasier, like, clearly he's done the same thing, and Frasier says, are you okay? And he says, I'm fine. Sam's the one with the problem.
Stop hounding me, Frasier. Woody approaches Rebecca, saying that it's between the two of them, between Rebecca and Woody, to run the bar. Norm suggests Carla because Carla's been there the longest and is the head waitress. Makes sense. However, she doesn't like responsibility, that one.
But Norm points out that she has kids, and she's like, yeah, and if I was responsible, I wouldn't have them.
You have 8 children, Carla. Exactly. Frasier wants to take Whiskers on the road, but Woody wants to meet him first, which is sweet. The cage is empty, Troy.
He's done a Houdini. Woody thinks it's a neat trick, and then says, you know, when we lost rats before, I played the flute, and, you know, when they went missing, and then he said, but also there were some children that followed, and was that a movie? No, that actually happened. Or was it in a movie?
It's the Pied Piper, isn't it?
That's it. The Pied Piper of Hamelin, also known as the Pan Piper or the Rat Catcher of Hamelin, is the title character of a legend from the town of Hamelin, Lower Saxony in Germany. The legend dates back to the Middle Ages. The earliest references describe the piper dressed in multicolored clothing, who was a rat catcher hired by the town to lure rats away with his magic pipe.
Huh.
Yeah. When citizens refuse to pay for his services as promised, he retaliates by using the instrument's magical powers on their children, leading them away as he had the rats. The version of the story spread as folklore and has appeared in writings of Johann Wolfgang von Goethe and the Brothers Grimm and Robert Browning, among others. The phrase Pied Piper has become a metaphor for a person who attracts a following through charisma or false promises.
Yep. I once heard Cliff Richard be referred to as the Pied Piper of pensioners.
Facts. Big facts.
It's not far off. He doesn't remember, as you say, whether it was in life or fiction. Clifts gives a fact about rats.
Yeah, he does. Something around a bubonic plague.
He says that they weren't the ones responsible for the bubonic plague. This was instead caused by an animal called the bubon. Calm down. He claims it is still with them, the bubon, and they must contact authorities if they ever see one. And Carla asks, what if they just see a boob?
Lovely stuff, Carla.
Both Sam and Mitch get into the farm team, which is good because they have to work their way up back through the Red Sox associated teams.
Yep.
They both get in, which is good. And they commend each other's performance in public, but shake their heads when looking at other people.
It's when Sam walks in and says, who says you can't call home again? And Noel says, yep, that would be Vera. But then Mitch goes to leave, doesn't he? Fraser's obviously still looking for his rat whiskers. And then we see Mitch like fall down the stairs outside as he leaves. Fraser comes over, says, yeah, I'm a doctor, you know, explain to me exactly what happened. He says, there was a rat. And Fraser just runs off and leaves him.
Yeah, he trips down the stairs because he saw a rat, which we assume was Whiskers. But Mitch is out, done his ankle in. No baseball for you, Mitch.
None.
Well, his arm as well. He's just...
Kaput.
That's the word I was looking for. I was looking for the safe for work word.
Crocs, that's a word.
Yeah. Later in Cheers, Mitch has been sending subpoenas to the bar, and Sam has sent a postcard from New Britain, Connecticut, because they were on the road. Mitch is sending subpoenas because, well... He's suing
for damages.
Yeah. Despite New Britain only being a $30 train ride away from Boston, Norm won't go, despite wanting to.
He says, I'd give anything to go and watch Sam play. And Cliff's like, it's only a $30 train ride. He's like, and that's what I wouldn't give.
I would do anything for Sam, but I won't,
do that.
Fraser enters with a replacement rat.
He says, he's a lab rat. He's been taught all of this, that, and the other. He's irreplaceable. So I spent 99 cents on a replacement.
Yeah. But he does have to teach the rat some tricks.
Has to teach him everything Whiskers knew.
You can't teach a new rat old tricks. That's not the saying. but he has 48 hours to teach this rat everything, which would make the film a lot more subdued, wouldn't it?
He says about it's low-level training through shock and reward and stuff like that. And he's got the little contraption that gives out a nut, depending on, which one you push. And one gives an electric shock, one gives a reward. And the camera just kind of whips around to the other end of the bar. And we see Norm and Cliff trying to get the nuts out of the rat feeder. And initially, Cliff's getting all of them and Norm keeps getting electrocuted.
Operant conditioning is called. B.F. Skinner, his famous one with the pigeon box, which was essentially the same thing, where a pigeon... If it pressed one button, it got a tasty treat. If it pressed another, it got an electric shock from the floor.
I need one of those in my kitchen cupboard to stop me snacking.
Just ask your partner to hide mouse traps.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. I mean, I'd sooner take a slight electric shock than potentially lose a finger, but yeah, cool.
That's the other thing. You can coat the snacks in an unpleasant flavor.
Yeah, you get that stuff that they give to, you can put on your nail, people that bite their nails, and it's that really, tastes horrible. And it's in fact, it's the same taste I can compare it to for those that have a Nintendo Switch console. the game cartridges are coated in this substance that basically stops children licking them or putting them in their mouth. It's this really horrible, not even sour, just very sort of chemically kind of acrid taste. And then it's the same sort of thing that they use on these anti-nail biting solutions. So yeah, I'll get all the snacks covered in that. That'll stop me.
Yeah, you say that as though you've tried both and you went, this Switch game tastes exactly like nails.
I definitely tried the Switch game cartridge, yeah. And actually the nail substance stuff as well. I don't bite my nails, but someone else had it and, tried it. Not a nice taste, can confirm. It's like when you get told as a kid, don't lick a 9-volt battery. Don't tell me you haven't licked a 9-volt battery to see what it's like.
You try it once, don't you?
Yeah.
And then you go, I see.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
Case in point, taking a dish out of the oven without gloves on. Once you've done it once, you know why not to.
Well, no, not true. Oh. I've done that several times. It's like when I do like a jacket potato in the oven or the air fryer, and I think, oh, it's only a short distance between the oven or air fryer to the plate. I'll be all right to pick it up for a moment. Nah, the amount of lost potatoes that have just cascaded over the floor because I thought I had asbestos fingers.
The way I imagine it is that you pick up a potato and then in anger just throw it on the floor and then and your dog comes in and just looks bewildered. No, I've not done that bad, but I have learnt.
The hard way.
Yes, exactly.
Offer Paul to try, don't they, the nut dispenser? And he gets one straight away and they still can't work out which one's the right one to press to get the nut.
He just goes, oh, thanks, guys. Free nut. Lovely.
He's skeptical at first. He's like, this isn't some sort of joke or anything, is it? They're like, no, you know, help yourself.
And he goes, great, thanks. Lilith comes in and immediately knows the rat isn't Whiskers.
She smells a rat, if you like.
Hey.
But not the right rat.
This rat doesn't smell like Whiskers.
Doesn't respond to my voice. But Fraser, like, barefaced lies, is adamant, like, you know, I swear to you, my wife of this many years and as a colleague and as a friend and your partner, this is absolutely Whiskers. And then Whiskers just appears on his shoulder. He's like, it's on my shoulder, isn't he? She's like, yep. Yeah. He tries to play it off as him buying Whiskers a companion. And he says, will I have a companion too? And she says, nah, not for a long time.
He's, yeah. It's not even, they don't even look the same. You've got to do better, Fraser. The fact that they don't even look the same, what was he thinking would happen?
This is basics, Fraser. Come on, man. Sort yourself out.
We then go to a motel, and Sam is knackered after a game.
Yeah, it seems won.
And he tries to lie on bed to rest for a bit, but Carla enters, so she's having none of that.
So she comes to kind of celebrate, and he's like, who's running the bar? And she's like, oh, Rebecca. And he's like, what? And she's like, no, it's okay, no one's running it. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And then one of his teammates comes in, Slim, comes in, like, gets Sam's names wrong.
Hey, Monday, how's it going?
Fine, Slim. Actually, it's Mayday, Slim. Mayday, yeah. It's my friend, Carla Tartelli, my roommate, Slim.
Nice to meet you.
You too, Slim.
Say, by the way, a bunch of us are going out for beer and pizza, you know? Get a little wild, do a little partying. You interested?
Oh, thanks, but I'm here to visit my friend Sammy.
Sam, you got another clean shirt I can borrow?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Not that one. No, all right, go ahead.
Holy cow, feel free to get undressed in front of me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I mean, holy cow, feel free to get undressed.
And then the rest of the team come in and start wrestling about and a lot of horseplay. And then they leave. He decides to kind of stay there and has a little bit of a heart-to-heart with Carla. He realizes he doesn't like the lifestyle. That's why he stopped playing it. It's a kid's game and he's not a kid anymore and it's not for him. And Carla's like, okay, fine. You know, you've made your decision and I'll support you through that decision. I always support you through your decisions. And he's like, yeah, you do, don't you? Like going out with Diane, selling the bar, hiring Rebecca, deciding to have a kid with her, all choices that Carla supported with him. He's like, what kind of friend are you?
Shall we do the cast list? Who will get us? Who's the players of this episode? John Finn as Mitch Ganzel. He also appeared in BJ and the Bear, The Incredible Hulk, Fame, The Fall Guy, Spencer for Hire, Miami Vice, Glory, Law and Order, Quantum Leap, Matlock, The Pelican Brief, Carlito's Way, Jag, The X-Files, The Practice, NYPD Blue, Catch Me If You Can, Dawson's Creek, Homeland, Madam Secretary, Elementary, The Good Wife, NCIS, The Walking Dead, Blue Bloods, and many more.
That's quite the list.
It is, for someone who's not that well known.
Yeah, there's some big credits on there.
Anthony Stark as Slim, who also appeared in 21 Jump Street, Repossessed, Beverly Hills 90210, Seinfeld, The George Carlin Show, Suddenly Susan, Cold Feet, Boston Public, Charmed, Angel, Prison Break, NCIS, ER, House, CSI, Lie to Me.
And Iron Man as well, apparently, Anthony Stark. Mm. I'm here all day. Well, for this episode and maybe another one.
No. Castle, Mad Men, and many more. Paul Wilson as Paul Crapence, Philip Pullman as Phil, this is a great name, Lance Slaughter.
Lance Slaughter? Yeah.
As
it sounds like it should be fronting like an extreme metal band.
Lance Slaughter, and on the drums, Tommy Rampage.
Tommy Rampage.
He also appeared in Hill Street Blues, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Simon and Simon, 21 Jump Street, Growing Pains, Melrose Place, Knots Landing, and many more. Ah, there we go. Jimmy Genocide on bass.
Superb.
Michael Wiseman as teammate number two. He also appeared in Caged Fury, Predator 2, Tales from the Crypt, Melrose Place, Walker, Texas Ranger, Mike Hammer, Private Eye.
Mike Hammer?
Yeah.
There's another one. Also, he's a Caged Fury. Right, that's the name of the band there, and we've just reeled off all four members.
Diagnosis Murder, JAG, Star Trek Voyager, ER, The X-Files, Fat Actress, CSI, Boston Legal, Prison Break, The Mentalist, NCIS, and many more. Eugenie Bondurant has an uncredited role as bar patron, but she's worth mentioning. This is her first film and TV role. She went on to appear in Lady Boss, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Clear and Present Danger, Ed Wood, Fight Club, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, NCIS, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, Werewolf by Night, Interview with the Vampire, and many more. Doing a fair few things recently. Werewolf by Night and Interview with the Vampire are only a couple of years old, so...
Yeah. Werewolf by Night, that's... Isn't that the Marvel one?
It is, and there's not many cast in that.
Yeah, that's only 2 years old.
There you go. That's the, your cast list.
Aye.
Sam's talking about how he can't keep up with the young guns, and he finds them a bit, what would you say...
Rambunctious.
Yes, yes. Like
boisterous.
Like grown men drinking 5 rums in half an hour, yes.
Ah, don't worry about it.
And they do speak about going bar hopping, don't they? Which is why they want a fancy shirt.
Yeah, yeah. But they decide not to, or at least that's what you think. They come back and they say, you know what, we're going to spend a night in. We're going to have a chill out. And he's like, really? He's like, you know, we can watch a film, watch some TV. Just, you know, have a chat. And then he's, yeah, that'd be great. And he's, you know what, that'd be lovely. We'll stay in, we'll do that. And then Slim decides to pants the new guy, which I assume involves just pulling his pants down.
It's weirdly homoerotic.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's very strange. They then pin him in a corner all to try to take his pants down. And I'm like, it's very strange when he's aware you're doing this. I understand it if, you know, going up behind someone, just quick.
Well, there's 4 or 5 of you running at him.
To take his trousers off against the corner. Like, this is a weird undertone to it, which I don't like.
But Carla saves the day, doesn't she?
She does. She gives them a piece of her mind.
Yeah. So Sam leaves with his bag to go back home. Carla says, I'm going to have a word with you guys. And you think she's going to give him a dressing down. Instead, decides she's going to pant Slim with the rest of the guys.
Then she chases Slim into a bathroom and wants, and I'm almost quoting, save some of the action for her, basically.
Yeah, she made her intentions quite clear a scene or so before.
Well, she was lying on the bed, wasn't she?
It was when he was putting Sam's shirt on. Yeah. And she's like, oh, like, what are you doing? Or something like that. And
sure, just get undressed in front.
I'm sorry, yeah. Let me rephrase that.
She was very happy to flirt with Slim. I think Slim would be intimidated.
Yeah.
She's a powerful woman.
Power.
Yes. That's the end of the game. Mail. What's the first question you got there, Troy?
Cliff's reading the paper, isn't he? What percentage of the brain does he say that people use?
17.
That's correct. That's an easy one.
Yeah, start off with an easy one. What errands does Lilith task Fraser with?
Oh, water the plants, pay the paperboy, and take the garbage out on Tuesday.
Yep, that's it.
Whiskers the rat.
Mm-hmm.
What number test subject, if you like, is he?
17A.
Correct.
Ooh, feel like we're on University Challenge, this battling through them. What baseball player does Sam state as influence for getting back in the game at his age?
Ah, I genuinely can't remember.
That's okay. The answer is Nolan Ryan. Was 45 years old at the time the episode aired. He retired 1 year later. His playing career was 27 years long.
Oof.
He pitched for the Mets, California Angels, Houston Astros, and Texas Rangers. And after retirement, he became the CEO of the Rangers and executive advisor to the Astros. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1999 for being considered one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Throughout his career, he consistently threw pitchers over 100 miles per hour and was known to throw a 12-6 curveball at an exceptional velocity. Didn't see what that velocity was, but I hear it was exceptional.
Yeah.
Over his 27-year-long career, he earned 5,714 strikeouts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hell of a career. How much does Frazier spend on Whiskers' replacement?
99 cents.
Correct.
What is New Britain the home of?
There was two things, was it? What was one of them, like tobacco leaves or something like that?
Yes, one of them was tobacco leaves.
I can't remember the other one, but I do remember the first one being tobacco leaves. So it was on the postcard, wasn't it, that Sam sent?
Yes. Yeah. Shade leaf tobacco and carrions?
Sure.
Sure. Hey, podcast fans. If you like podcasts and you want to start your own, then why not go over to Zencaster? You can form your own team of sporting podcast extraordinaires. Yes. And if you use the code NORM, that's N-O-R-M, like the character in the show, no less, you can get 30% off your first paid month. We like Zencaster, don't we, Troy?
We do. We love Zencaster. Good people at Zencaster. Quality product.
It's got all-in-one UI, rich sound quality, user-friendliness, and great savings. How special.
I've got a couple here, actually, that I've found. Some baseball-themed cocktails.
You could have a pitcher.
I've got one. A cocktail. Tiger Nectar.
Hello.
So 2 ounces of Coppercraft rye whiskey. You can find it. 1 ounce of sage syrup. 1 ounce of lemon juice. And 2 ounces of carrot ginger turmeric juice. So you combine it all together, shake it with ice, strain it, pop it in a glass, and garnish it with a sage leaf. So it links to a baseball saying called wild pitch. So according to the MLB, a pitcher is charged with a wild pitch when his pitch is so errant that the catcher is unable to control it, and as a result, the base runner or runners advance. So yeah, a Tiger Nectar.
Yep, I know. I've seen a couple of wild pitches in my time. Yes. When we play the show, quick cheeky product placement, sometimes I throw a wild pitch just to hit the batter in the face.
You do, and then sometimes I bunt it, and it throws everyone off.
Yeah, I go, stop it, you bunt. You absolute bunt. Fun sports time. Listen to us next week, and we'll talk about a different episode, which is very unsports. Yeah, that's the word. Very unsportsy, but a fun episode. So thank you for listening to this one, and we'll talk to you again next week.